Doctor Who podcast by a fan and her dad.
No, it's a fan and his daughter.
Season 1, The Sensorites, episodes 2, 3, and 4. So we left episode 1 in a moment of tension, which they'd built up very cleverly.
Yeah.
And we had our first glimpse of the Sensorites.
I really like the Sensorites head costume thing. I think it's really cool. At first I thought that the thing they were wearing on their bodies was meant to actually be their skin, and I'm like, what? That's such a bad costume. But then I realised it was actually clothes, and it's cool.
The feet, we bet they were showing the feet, and in the first shot of the feet, one of them stood on the other one's foot. But I agree. I think apart from the evil Sensorite, I think his nose is a bit more revealed, and that when they did some close-ups, it was not quite as convincing. But the other ones I thought were really quite good. Yeah.
They're like, heads are all different shapes and stuff. But one thing, the thing he's saying about I'll wear the sash and everyone will think I'm the second.
The city administrator is saying that,
Wait, so even the Sensorites can't tell the difference between each other?
Well, they gave some explanation for that. The idea was that only people like in the inner sanctum of the rules actually hung out with each other. So they mustn't have photos around or something.
Yeah, it's like, so there's no way for anyone else to see them. Like, they never even go for a walk.
Well, apparently the chief scientist, or one of the senior scientists, was that the chief scientist? He didn't recognise. He just saw the sash and maybe from a distance. Yeah, we haven't seen any imagery, have we? We haven't seen any television. And, in fact, when they were tracking the movement of the doctor and Ian and Susan as they were entering the throne room, they were doing that by, what was it, by thermocoupling or something like that. So no imagery. So.
But, like, even if you'd only seen from a distance, presumably people within the species would be able to tell the difference between each other.
I don't think there's any doubt that the first commander, is that what
First Elder?
The First Elder. I don't think there's any doubt that the First Elder would be able to tell the difference. But if you hadn't seen, and I guess they put a lot of store in those sashes.
Yeah.
It was one of the city administrator's complaints to the humans that none of them were wearing sashes. Yeah. How was he supposed to tell? So I guess, you know, once upon a time, if you put a girl in boy's clothing or a woman dressed in man's clothing, people would just assume it's a man because that conditioning was so strong. So perhaps it's something similar.
And there's this thing where she said, like, I don't know what you'd do if you changed the law. I was like, I've never thought of that. We could actually change our clothes.
There was a lot of the Sensorites explaining how they were feeling and, you haven't got weapons, but I am afraid.
Yeah.
And things like that, which I thought, I'm not sure about these. But later on I thought, well, perhaps it's got something to do with their telepathic capacity. Perhaps if you're used to having access to other people's thoughts, maybe that would change the way you spoke and maybe you would be a little bit more declarative about your emotional states because that's sort of information you were used to having about people or to make people feel more comfortable. What do you think?
I don't like all of the speaking thoughts aloud, or even sometimes like the two Sensorite would go and huddle and they speaking in a really loud whisper and somehow no one else heard them. And it's like, don't you have telepathy?
I think that is, there's elements here which is really interesting because the whole way that this TV show has been put together is so far removed from the way any TV is or movies or anything like that is done these days. It's almost shot live. Did you notice when they had the zoom in? So in that last episode, we had the cliffhanger with Ian collapsing on the floor and he collapses again at the start of the fourth episode and they zoom in and then you get the title of the new episode. While that title's coming up on screen, everyone is just holding their position. It's not a freeze frame. Like there's a little bit of movement there, but nothing's happening because everyone, they would just be being told, hold, and then they move on. So this, I mentioned it before, where there's something about the formal quality of it, the way it's, you know, it's just in these small rooms and there's certain things you have to do because of the constraints that you're working with. It's very stagey, isn't it, that whisper? Because you'll see that in the play where.
Yeah. I sort of find it annoying when they're whispering, but not so much when there were the two of them, but when, like, one Sensorite walks past and the second they're off the shot, the two there start talking. It's like, but wait, he's still, like, 2 metres away from you. But other than I found it okay, it was the thing where it's like, okay, you're surrounded by these people who you think are your enemies. You have telepathy and you're speaking out loud. It's like, wouldn't it be smarter to use the head thingies?
Mm. Do they all have the head thingies?
Those two did. Mm. I think most of them do. One other problem I had with the sense rice was they kept saying like man or like one man for another when they were talking about themselves. It's like, really?
Well, that comes up with the use of the word people in the Zygon invasion inversion. There's the man business, and we just in totally unrelatedly watched that speech of JFK gave in Berlin, and he was saying man. Yeah. And it that really grates just because what you're talking about is people, not just men. But there seems to be some trans species element to the word people.
Yeah.
So your species is human, but you're a person.
Yeah.
Even if you're a zygon, you're a person. So in some way you're giving that word some weight that's beyond the species and refers to some inherent value of you as a being.
But I did have a problem with this because surely you wouldn't call yourselves the same thing that we call ourselves.
Well, and they're all speaking English, apparently.
Yeah. No, but that's not, they might not be. Remember TARDIS?
The TARDIS telepathic. Yes. The TARDIS could be. Well, perhaps the TARDIS is doing the same thing. That's a good point. I keep forgetting about that. I don't know when that crops up, if that's always been an explanation or if that's a new Who explanation. I can't remember. But so perhaps that's an actual translation. Perhaps they're not saying.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe that's part of the translation.
TARDIS does a very good job of translating.
The TARDIS is very clever. Very clever, TARDIS.
I think the only place I've ever heard reference to that was when Clara said, when they were on the German special, I don't even speak German. The doctor's like, you're speaking German. sorry, probably should have mentioned that earlier.
So what's your feeling overall about the Sensorite so far?
I don't know. I like the premise of it. There's a couple of little things which keep really annoying me, like just things that the Sensorites are doing or like the man thing or the loud whispers, but mostly I like it, I think. One of the other small things that was really grating with me was the really dramatic music was sometimes getting quite annoying. And also at one point he's with the water when he was like, it's like, I wonder what, it's like, come on. Could you be any more obvious?
It was rather telegraphed. Would you mind if I take a sip of water? No, Ian, don't do it. I nearly leaned over. Have you worked it out?
It was like at the end where he's going, now I wonder what could possibly be causing
Could it
this.
Be the air? Could it be the fruit? No. What's left? What could it be? What about the monsters that are down in the... We've ended with the noise of some kind of...
I don't think they exist.
Do you think there's nothing down there?
I think someone put things making sound down there to keep people out.
Mm, he's found deadly nightshade, which is a kind of plant.
Yeah.
But there's the air of some sort of conspiracy around it, but I can't quite work out who would be involved in that conspiracy.
I had thought that it was the city administrator, partially, like probably other people as well, going down and actually putting poison in the water. But if it's like just something growing.
And he thinks they're dead going in there. So if those things don't exist, he seems to be fooled into thinking that they do. So it's a little bit hard to work that out. But we will find out in the next two episodes. I did like, before they came down to the sense sphere, I did like Ian's line, I don't like splitting up. It always leads to trouble. This is the first season and it's still true today. Yeah. I wonder, do you think Barbara or the actor playing Barbara was having her holiday because she's just disappeared? But sometimes they would do that. Someone would, you know, have a couple of episodes where they disappeared because that actor was literally on holiday.
I love the science-y stuff thing.
Yeah,
where they were like holding up the vials and tipping them in and doing all that stuff, and it was like fading it out. I thought that was really cool.
Yeah, that was unusual. That's true. Yeah. It was an unusual sequence, and it was unusual to have science as the climactic element.
Yeah, and
a controlled experiment, carefully moving the index card to show which of these test tubes has been tested.
I liked the doctor actually like being a real doctor. like when he was doing that thing to Ian and stuff.
Yeah, and he drops chemical names every now and then. They're pretty simple ones, but definitely a man of science.
One very small thing. I really like the sets.
Ah.
Like there's that room which Ian was being kept in. On the wall behind him, there was just, I think it was meant to be like art or something.
Mm.
It was just a circle with all these like weird lines and things coming off it. I just thought that was so cool because so often when you have science fiction-y futuristic places, they'll just all have like blank walls.
Mm.
I really liked that.
Yeah, I agree. I think the sets have been good. And it's actually, there's been a few, or they've been using them in a way that's made them look like a few. There's a corridor and a couple of different rooms. I was impressed too with the water pipes.
Yeah.
Which really looked solid and pipe-like. It didn't look so cardboardy. Although on the spaceship, there was one point when Barbara and Ian, they went off to try and find the sensorites and they were going incredibly slowly. They went through one door and I'm pretty sure the wall just completely wobbled and opened
up. There was one point when Susan was meant to be lifting a door and it started moving up just before her hands touched it.
Oh, really?
It's like
stage hands on the other side.
Yeah. No, I think it would be stage hands above because I'm on the side after. But it's like, you know.
Didn't quite get the same.
So her hands were just sort of like just underneath, like gut. She wasn't actually doing anything for that.
But your enjoyment of the episodes isn't undermined by things like that?
Maybe if the episodes overall, if there's not too many, it's okay. But like it always takes me a little while to get back into the story after that.
So it takes
that.
You out of it a little bit.
Yeah. One last thing. John's so cool. We, like, barely know anything about his character, but he's, like, everyone thinks he's mad, but he's not. He's just, like, when he's, like, barely basically conscious, he's like, I'm going to protect you. He's really cool.
It's good to have good characters.
Yes.
Now, let's not split up because that only leads to trouble.
Don't wander off alone or you'll get killed.